Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers. One of the reasons why I got into fitness and really started this podcast was that I really wanted to blow up the myths that are prevalent in this whole diet culture society. And one of the biggest things that I see all the time is, I want to lose some weight, so how do I cut the cream in my coffee? Well, here's the thing, right? If you like cream in your coffee and you're not having 10 cups of cream in your coffee every single day, enjoy the coffee. All right, off my soapbox. But I hear it all the time. So many of you are really trying to figure out, what is the good food, bad food list? What's going to keep me safe? Give yourself permission to have whatever it is that you want to have. And I hear you. There's a lot of false information out there. And here's what I want to do. Starting March 8th, I'm doing the 5 days to effortless weight loss. And during the course of those 5 days, I'm going to break down 4 discipline changers that are going to leave you feeling better, stronger, and more confident than you've ever felt before. Plus, I'm going to show you how you can take small, tiny actions that you won't even really notice that you're doing to get significant change. And finally, I'm going to show you how to give yourself permission to just wake up in the morning and just know what to do without worrying about, did I miss a workout? Did I put too much cream in my coffee? If you're sick of worrying about putting too much cream in your coffee or wondering, you know, how bad is me missing a workout because I feel sick, you need to join me in the 5 days of effortless weight loss. Check out the link in my bio. Hey, magic makers, I have a little bit of a different episode for you today. You know, one of the things that I don't think I've talked about a lot is that when I first started in this business, I worked for a gym. And the gym, one of the reasons why I wanted to work there is that they had like the best personal trainers in Boston at the time. And the focus of that gym wasn't just getting you like a great killer workout, right? The focus was, how do we improve the quality of our members' lives through movement? And it was one of the first gyms that I ever, you know, went to and worked for that actually gave you an assessment just to see how you moved so that we could program you better. And I know a lot of people at the time were like, I don't really understand why we're having this kind of assessment. Well, as the years have gone by, you know, one of the questions I want you to ask is that, you know, what gets measured gets done. And if you don't know where you're starting from, how do you know how far you've come? And especially with things like movement, we just kind of fluff it off, right? Or we gut our way through it, or like, you know, force our way into a movement that maybe our body's not ready for. And through that relationship with that gym and learning all of the different ways that a body can move the way the body is supposed to move, it has just been very eye-opening. And as someone who, you know, I now still work at, you know, gyms and I work with many women, I see that they will come to me and they say, you know, Kim, you know, I no longer can lift over my head. I got this bum shoulder or this bum hip or my knee, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of it is, when I look at it, it's that it's about the quality of your movement, that you've been moving in a way that is just going to exacerbate the pain. And today I have the privilege of speaking with Miss Katie Sinclair. I discovered her through a friend, and she has become an amazing, you know, new mentor of mine as far as helping women just better understand their bodies, just better understand how to move through simple techniques that just help you to learn how to turn on and fire muscles that maybe you haven't felt before. And in the interview, you'll hear that one of the reasons why I went through her program was because after I had abdominal surgery, laparoscopic abdominal surgery, I couldn't turn on my core. And I was like, I had no idea. I was doing all of the things and it came down to breathing. It was as simple as learning how to breathe is how I was able to finally like get my core to finally turn on and do the things I knew that it could do. So have a listen to this. I know it's something different, but I really think that it's something that we all as women have to learn how to say, you know what, how do we stop gutting our way through our workouts and finally understand how do we move so that we no longer have those bum pieces of body parts, right? We are able to figure out how can we make those body parts work optimally so that we have long-term health. So have a listen and tell me what you think of this episode. So I have the privilege, I'm speaking with Ms. Katie Sinclair. And, you know, like most people, I meet a lot of people on Instagram. So if you guys are not on Instagram, head over there. You're going to meet some great, fabulous people. And I was attracted to her because she was talking about what I've always preached to my clients, movement. If you have quality movement, you're going to get the results that you want. And so many times I see, you know, people doing, I'm going to call them circus workouts, and they get hurt and then they stop working out. And then they're like, well, when I did, you know, insert the circus workout that they did, they got hurt. And now they're like, yeah, I can't really lift over my head anymore. Or, you know, squatting, it's not really good for me anymore, my lower back. And so what I found her, she was doing all these creative things to really help women specifically work through those I can't do that anymore issues. And I was like, this is my lady. Like, this is what I've been trying to preach to my clients for decades at the gym. And here she is like talking the talk. So I was like, you guys have to hear it because I know us ladies over 40, we got some aches, some pains, some creaks. And I want you to know you're not out of the game, right? You're not out of the game until you're in the coffin. All right. So welcome, Ms. Katie Sinclair.
Thank you so much. I love that whole introduction because you're right. No one's out of the coffin. No one's like, the nail is not set. We are still capable of doing really cool stuff with our bodies. I mean, and that's where I think our generation is very different from like my parents' generation. Mm. Sort of is like, okay, I'm in this middle age range. And then all of a sudden, I just have to assume that I got to stop all the things that I love. And I really, really, obviously, you know that, but fight against that as much as humanly possible. So I love it.
I'm totally with you. Cause I think about like you said, like, I think like when you back in the day, you retired and like you retired to sit down, you retired to play golf. Like there was no, you know, you didn't see 80-year-olds like, you know, competing in the CrossFit games like you do nowadays. Like, right. You know, they're the outliers of their generation. And I feel like our generation is like, well, why do I have to stop moving?
Right. Yeah. And I think part of it from what you said about the, what did you call them? Circus workouts?
Yeah,
it's like you're just going in like a circuit style random workout with a bunch of people, almost like a boot camp sort of style. And I think for the general public, they want to do that stuff because they've been told that that will make them healthy and be able to move better so that they can do all these things in their life. But in all reality, oftentimes that's pushing them more into less movement that's healthy and creating more problems that make it even harder to continue to do the things that they love and all of those movements. So it's hard because there's sort of like a re-education that needs to happen on what good training is for people.
Oh my goodness. All right. You like hit the nail on the head, the re-education. And because I 100%, you know, I've talked about this with my clients where, you know, you get a flyer or you see some advertisement. It's like 6 weeks to like lose 20 pounds and you got to go to the gym every day for 6 weeks and do these crazy ass workouts. And you're like, but do you like it?
Yes. Do you like it? Are you enjoying the moment? That's huge.
Right.
Even if you like it, do you like it after? Like, how do right. you feel after?
And I know for so many years, like the hallmark of a good workout was, oh my God, I couldn't wash my hair the next day, or like I could barely like get out of my chair. Like, and I, you know, like your approach where it's like, yeah, you might feel a little something, but it's more about the muscle engagement versus I feel sore after.
Right. Yeah. And I think soreness is not a bad thing because it feels like, okay, I had some success. What I attempted to create muscle change and provide some stimulus, and that made me sore. So sometimes I'm like, ooh, good, I'm sore. That means I had a good workout. But are you sore in the right places? Are you having back pain, neck pain, hip pain, leaking, diastasis, all of these things? Like, are you thinking about the big picture and making sure that the right things are sore?
Yeah.
And that's the key, really, is like, how are we educating people to understand what's happening with their own body so that they can make better decisions on their exercise and programming and where they're going to go and who they're going to put their money with to train them.
Yeah. And, you know, so one of the reasons why, full disclosure, I had participated in one of Kate's programs. And one of the reasons why I participated in her program was that I had abdominal surgery. And ever since then, I couldn't feel my core. Like, no matter what I did, I couldn't feel my core. And I'm like, I know how to cue people, like, brace your core. And I was like, I'd love to. I really want to. I'm like, I know it's there, but it is not turning on. And so one of the things I love that you do very well, and that I'm an aspirational person here, is that you're like, okay, let's find the muscles that aren't working so that the muscles that aren't working or the muscles that are working aren't overworking and compensating for the muscles that aren't.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. And I think that is part of the problem, is there's not education on proper positioning, which allows for all the muscles to work, not just the ones that are sort of taking over. And so in your case, I don't know what your surgery was, but likely other muscles were doing the job for your abdominal wall muscles to try to compensate. And because that's what we do as humans, we do whatever is humanly necessary to get through life and to continue doing all the fun stuff we like to do or don't like to do. And so we'll use any strategy we can find, especially if you have surgery, something like that, or pregnancy or whatever.
Right. And so, like, you know, let's use pregnancy because, like, you know, I think that as a woman, that's a kind of, no one wants to say it, but it's major trauma.
It's major trauma. It is.
It is major trauma because it literally, like, pushes every organ other than, I think, your heart out of the way.
Yeah.
To make room for your baby. I'm like, as you, you know, visually look at like a baby inside of you, like, they never show your organs. And then, like, after you think about the baby being removed, you're like, oh crap, there's a lot of vital organs that like got disrupted in order to, you know, make sure my baby has room. And I don't think, you know, and because I had the abdominal surgery, I think I became more conscious of, shoot, how many other of my mommies no longer can feel their core because, you know, maybe they had a C-section or maybe they have, you know, maybe they have other disruptions that happen. And I'm like, how do you even know what's turned off?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You have to understand a little bit about assessment. So if you go to a trainer and you're looking to find somebody that is, I guess, cognizant of these things, they should probably do some sort of assessment. They should look at, okay, you know, how does she move? What's her range of motion? Things like that, that are really simple, actually, if they're fairly educated, to kind of give people a lens. And once they find a person that's like looking at the big picture, they can determine, okay, what needs to be turned on. But from a very broad perspective, I think we can all as humans without a trainer learn what we need based on some own assessment measures that we can do for ourselves. And I'm happy to share those with your audience.
Yeah.
Ideas that might help them cue into, oh, wow, that's so crazy. I didn't realize that that wasn't even turning on. I didn't even know that that was supposed to happen at this time, you know, and now that I know that, this is something I might need to work on and learn a little bit more about, because I think people are more likely to, okay, so if I tell you, you're going to lose, I want you to lose 20 pounds or you want to lose 20 pounds. In order to do that, you need to cook healthy meals, but you've never cooked in your whole life. Okay, we probably need to start from square one and teach you how to chop up an onion and make a meal, right? And so people are willing to do that because we eat 3 times a day, right? That you can sort of avoid exercise. And when it comes to our bodies, it's like we want somebody else to tell us what to do.
Yes.
But really, like, we should be putting in as much effort as we need to lose weight and learn how to cook and feed ourselves and proper nutrients to eat as we do on, you know, actually what's happening with our own bodies. Like, it's our body. We have one body that has to support us and we have to live in for the rest of our lives. And if you want to live a really healthy, active, fun, just joyful life, then you probably need a body that can hold you up. And so we should put some effort into learning some basic principles that will translate into just really great things. So,
you know, it's funny you say that. I just love the joyful, right? Like, you know, just having joy and like having back pain or anything like that, that's not joyful. And, you know, one of the things you talked about that I think we get as a society, we get caught up in is weight loss.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't think that if I were able to engage my core, would that, how does that affect my weight loss? Like, we don't think in terms of that, because it's not sexy, right? Like, right. You know, it's not, I'm not being, you know, for a client, for, you know, I know when I first started, for clients, like, they wanted to see that, you know, you transformed this woman and she lost 40 pounds and now she's this, like, you know, bathing beauty, versus like, I got her to get her core engaged. Like, that's just not,
right.
That is just not, you know, that is not sexy. Or like, oh, when she came to me, you know, she couldn't do a squat without peeing and now she can pee. Like, it's not. That's not like what we want people to hear in the marketing materials.
Right. And I think, to your point, I think a lot of the circus workouts are highlighting those things that you're seeing are sexy. And so they're highlighting that as a sales pitch, and not like from a bad intent. I think also a lot of them are just highlighting the fact that we're going to get you stronger, get you moving, but they don't really have the understanding, or they're not giving they don't have the time or the resources in a group environment to be able to give you the understanding that you need for your body to, like, if I could give something to every single general population client, like, period, if I could just like do a magic wand, I would teach them a couple of key things about pressure management and sort of like create a stable base, and then be like, go do any workout you want and just don't forget these things I told you. So it would take like an hour and just be like, let me teach you this. And then you go and you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, you get it.
Right. Now.
It's simple. It doesn't have to be super complicated.
Right. Cause it's like, I wrote myself a note, cause we're going to go back to it, but I'm going to circle back in this roundabout way. So one of the biggest things that I see that working with you has really helped me to be better at cueing is ribs. You know, really looking at the rib cage. And so I feel like a lot of people, if we have this conversation, can look at themselves in the mirror and see if their ribs are lifting and lowering, right? Because it's pretty obvious. Like, when you lift, are your rib cage going up? Are your boobs going up to the sky? Because if that's the case, your ribs are going up.
Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, through working with you, I've become very like cognizant of like, okay, we're going to bring those ribs down. This is how we create the pressure, so that people really understand that, you know, most people think their core is about the six pack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're like, that's nice, but it does way more than just have a six pack.
Yes, 100%.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how, like, you know, it's human nature. We all do, we've all done it until someone points it out that you lift something over your head and it's just a natural thing. Your rib cage lifts up because no one's told you different.
Exactly. So I think just to bring it back a little bit in terms of how people can feel this in their own bodies is, if you're listening out there, just take an inhale through your nose and kind of breathe in and take a deep breath. Don't think about anything. Where did the pressure go? Did you feel your abdominals lengthen and sort of your belly come out? Did you feel your chest rise? Did you feel back expansion? Just what do you feel when you inhale? And actually a deep inhale, not just like sitting here talking and random, but just you can put your hands on your chest, your hands on your belly and take a breath. Does it feel like it's going 360 or is it just all coming out the belly? And that's the first cue that I just sort of hound into my people. And then now let's learn. So now I want you to exhale and just open your mouth and go, like, let it sigh out, let every bit of air out. And in that moment, where do you feel the movement happening? Are you able to connect with an exhale that's pulling those ribs back, that's pulling your belly, sort of cinching it in, cinching your waist in? And on top of that, we can talk about your pelvic floor. Are you pulling your pelvic floor up? So from a very basic premise, we sort of want this inhale that's 360, and then we want this exhale that sort of compresses our entire rib cage, pulls our belly not in, but cinches everything together and allows our pelvic floor to come up. So we're basically clamping down and closing that space in our thorax. And that is creating a stable platform for exercise. So when we exercise and we inhale, we want to keep some of that tightness when we go to lift weights or do a push-up or anything. We want to keep that exhalation tightness in all of those muscles to help us manage the pressure that we're now going to have to manage when we lift a weight over our head, right? So if I just arch my back as I push a weight over my head and my ribs go flaring out, then I lost that pressure.
Right.
And that, if you can get that one single thing, every single workout you do will be more beneficial. I know you heard me nail it in the head in the coffin with, you know, just teach every single person to breathe and get their abdominals on and we're good.
Well, and it's funny because it's like, you know, as we said, you know, when you are, and that's how I got started in this business. I was a boot camp instructor and you literally have 30 people. And, you know, I like bad form is just like nails on a chalkboard for me. So it's really hard for me to see you do something horribly. It hurts me that when I see that. But when you have 30 people in a room, you're like, shit, I can only focus on someone who's just going to really get hurt.
Right.
And you hope that as I keep harping on form, that person's going to come to you after class or people are going to come to you after class and you can do little private assessments. Right. But you know, as we're talking here, like I know many of you who are listening, you guys are very active. And let me just tell you, like the breathing thing, I thought I knew how to breathe, but literally laying on your back with your feet up on a wall and your arms stay straight out, if you don't feel your core turn on, keep fucking doing that until your core turns on. Cause then all of a sudden you're going to do other exercise. You're going to be like, what? Is that what's supposed to be happening the entire time?
I love that. It's like, I didn't even know those muscles were supposed to be working every time I moved. Yeah.
Right. Cause it was like, before it was a forced thing versus a natural turn on.
Right.
And when it naturally turns on, you're like, what is happening?
Yeah. I always love it when people are like, can we do more core exercises today? And I'm like, that's every exercise.
Oh my God. Yes.
But yes, I'll give them to you if it makes you happy. If you want to do more of like a plank or like some sort of like abdominal thing, because you feel like that's working it more, even though I know deep down that when you squat and you lift 50 pounds off the ground or deadlift, you're probably working your core more.
When people are like, Kim, we didn't do any core today. And I was like, And like they, and as soon as they see me raise my eyebrow, they're like, oh shit, she's going to yell at me because she's going to like, I'm like, oh, so when we did the single leg deadlift, did you feel anything other than in your butt? Oh, okay. How about when we did this? How about this? Oh, okay. So I'm like, you get double bonus points because we did everything. Two exercises in one. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. So one of the biggest thing I want you guys to take away is that like that breathing thing, that was the only thing that was missing from me getting my core back. I was like, I did everything under the sun. And I'm like, why can't I just get this to like engage? Like I had to mindfully think about doing it when I did other exercises.
Right.
Me switching my breathing, I was like, holy shit, it's back. I'm like, it's back. It went away and now it's back. So if you're someone who like, you know, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Legit, lay on your back, put your feet on a wall and put your arms just straight out in front of you and just lay there for like 10 good, deep, solid breaths. And then you'll be like, oh. And then eventually it'll like, your body will be like, this is how I'm supposed to work on.
Actually, not that I'm plugging this, but you can go to my website and there are two free workouts that you literally can just sign up and I'll send you two workouts that are like all about this stuff. And I do those workouts for general population people, even though I coach a lot of trainers, because it's like so simple. If you just try that one time and then you go back to your regular workouts, whatever it is, boot camp, Orange Theory, whatever, and you apply the same principles, it's all fine. You're like, oh, wow, this whole workout feels completely different. Just paying attention to my breathing a little bit more.
It does. And just like, in my like roundabout way of circling back, just that like simple thing, you'll start to understand why we're talking about like the muscle, like mind muscle connection. Mm-hmm. So that when I know that as I teach, I'm like, okay, here's, you know, like, okay, the hamstring should be doing this or the, you know, shoulder should be doing this. And if you are in the class and you're like, I don't know what she's talking about, ask, just come up and ask.
Oh my God. I love that. Cause I, you know, on my group calls now and it's Zoom. So it's a little bit different. Cause I feel like when you're coaching in person doing groups, people are kind of talking with each other too. And today in my class, one of the women said something and then another woman came on and she like unmuted herself and she goes, Suzanne, I feel like you and I just need to work out together because every time you say something and you ask Katie something, I'm thinking the exact same thing. So they're both like very similar body types. And if you ask, somebody else in the class is probably wondering exactly what you're wondering. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad that you guys like made that connection and are asking me because I want you to tell me, like, and I'll ask people, does that hurt anybody's back? Does that, you know, feel, like, can you feel your abs? Are you having trouble feeling your pelvic floor? You need to let me know. Otherwise, I can't give you a different cue or a different position to get you to feel it, which is every trainer, regardless if they're teaching 30 people in a room, would like for you to. So you got to give them the benefit of the doubt and give them a chance to by teaching them so they can give you what you need.
Cause it's like, I want everyone to like have that body awareness that like, oh, like, wow, this is what she keeps talking about, my hamstrings and I got nothing because it's probably like something I could give you to do as homework. So that one day you're going to come into my class and you'll be like, oh my God, can I feel my hamstrings?
Yay. Yes. Yeah. That's the best. It could be just super simple. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, could even be just like foot placement. I don't know. Like, but it's like, if you may let me, you know, physically look at you, I'm like, 9 to 10, it's probably something really simple that we can do, but this work isn't sexy, right? Cause I know, like, I've been rehabbing my shoulder. It's not sexy. Sometimes it hurts. It sucks. And it's an addition to what you're already trying to do.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Nobody wants to, or not that they don't want to, maybe they don't have the time as well to dive into some of these concepts, but I don't think we have to make it super complicated. Like, I love how you're using your platform to sort of bring me on, but simplify this stuff so it's useful for all of the people that are listening. And that to me is the big change. You are the big change maker. You are the one. I can sit here and teach all these complex concepts to somebody, but if those people can then take these concepts and simplify them so that they are applicable for every single human on earth, that is the change that the exercise industry and the movement industry needs. That is everything to me. So what you're doing is more in terms of like scope, you know, I can't tell you the number of people who were like you, where I was like, you know, I was teaching boot camp classes with 30 people. Like, how in the world could I possibly address? And now they're doing 90-90s on the wall as the warm up before us with 30 people in a group. Right. I'm like, yes.
Right. And because like I've been fortunate that I, you know, the first gym that I worked at, our trainers were just like top notch, and we did assessments, and no other gym that I ever went to, and you kind of watched the trainers, was there an initial like, okay, where are you? Like, it was just like, okay, Susie, here's the workout I made for you. Right. And we were like, we did the FMS. Like, that was like, everyone had an assessment of like, where are you, so that you could see where you're going. Yeah. And for many people, you know, they always wanted to just dive into the workout, where we're like, we just need to see how you move. And I think now, as you know, my population is 40 something, they realize that movement is everything, because you're now chasing after your kids and picking up their shit, or you've had a kid on your shoulder for 5 years and you realize like, you're a hot mess because you've had a kid like hanging off a shoulder for years. And so, you know, how do those people kind of come back to it? And I also feel like movement, like I've taken the workouts that you do, like I feel like those workouts like are more beneficial for you, because by the time I'm done, I'm like, oh, like that's how I'm supposed to, like that's how things are supposed to like line up and move. And I feel like we don't have enough of those. Like, we need to talk more about that to people, you know, versus the get the sweat on.
Yeah. And I think it, for me, at least, those workouts, I tend to try to provide some education about the body as well. Because if I can help you learn more while we're working out, then you can take that and use it at any point when you're holding your 5-year-old that's 60 pounds on your hip, like, or four. Well, that might be a little excessive. My kid's really big, but Quincy's like 60 pounds. He's 6 years old. So I got a big one. But you know, like they still want you to pick them up every now and again, and you're
right.
Eating, whatever. You've got all these things. If you just have a little awareness of where you are in space and how to manage that, that can make all the difference. So if during your workout, I can give you things that help you to understand and learn, then when you aren't with me the other 23 hours of the day and you're doing your regular life stuff, you actually have a strategy for getting stronger while you are, you know, running around crazy like a maniac, dropping kids off even in the car. Like, you can sit there and do a long exhale and get your abs on. The first time I went to a postural restoration course, which is who I've learned a lot of information from, my son was a year old, and I finally got to go to a continuing education course, and I drove down to Orlando, and I learned so much. My mind was just like bursting. And I just was like, it was like high. I felt I was like on something. Like, this is so amazing. And I'm in the car, and the whole way back, I'm hip shifting, which is basically this process of kind of like pulling your hip back so you can get an abdominal wall. And I'm doing these breaths, and they're these long, like, and I'm getting my exhales on. I swear to God, I sat in the car for 8 hours by myself driving. I probably did it like 1,000 times. The next morning I woke up, my deep abs were so sore I was like, holy cow, like for the first time in my life, I'm getting why this breathing thing matters. But my point is like how you could use those principles if you're just a busy person and don't have time to exercise one day to still be strengthening your core. I'm doing quotes, you know, which is strengthening your whole body while you're literally like shuffling kids here and there and living the crazy life that I feel like women nowadays, the standards for us are off the charts, is basically how I see it. And so we're multitasking 24/7, and we probably need strategies to calm our system versus exercise strategies that are like getting us way up there. You know, like we probably need those too, but we need a little bit of both. Like, I think we need the down, and I don't mean like yoga downtime. I just mean like there's certain ways you can move and exercise that really support your nervous system so that you're sort of coming into a very present place. Right. Because we're always not present. We're always thinking about the next thing we have to do. Where do we got to get to? What do we got to do tomorrow? Like, what's our schedule? Are we set up? Do we have the groceries? Do we plan dinner? Do we da da da? And it's like, how do we get more present? And some of these positions and movements that we do can strengthen us while bringing us into that very grounded present place.
Yeah, I like that because I feel like you're right. Because I think a lot of the things that we've even talked about are, or so I'm saying we've talked about when I took our course that we've talked about are things that I don't have to go to the gym to do.
Exactly.
And like you said, like I'm waiting in carpool line. It's like, I can hip shift. I'm waiting in carpool line. I can lift my feet and do my 90-90 breathing. Like there's plenty of things that I can do while waiting for, you know, while shuffling kids around or while waiting for my coffee to brew. Like there's plenty of things to kind of start to like, so that when you do actually have the time to get in a full workout, you're like, oh, huh, look at this. Like, this is what they were talking about my ribs. This is what they were talking about, like my core turning on when I'm doing a squat or what have you. And so we talked about assessments and I keep pushing the rock down the hill. So we're going to land the plane assessment. So if I'm someone and I'm like, all right, so this kind of seems interesting. What are some of the assessments I can do to say to myself, like, I think I'm doing good, but maybe I'm not. So what would I check for myself to see where I am?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would do, if you're a female and you've had children, the number one thing I would want to check is, can you feel your deep abdominals and can you feel your pelvic floor? Because those things are very interrelated. And so from an assessment standpoint, all of this is going to be sort of active movement and your objective feeling of your own body. But I think a lot of times we get too far away from can we pay attention for just a minute? And it doesn't take long. And if you're listening to this, I can kind of guide you through it really quick. But basically, I would have you lay down on your back with your knees bent and your feet flat on the ground and get in a comfortable position. And then all you would do is inhale through your nose and sort of just let everything relax. Don't think much about it. In that inhale, you should feel your pelvic floor sort of drop down, or like there's pressure pushing down into your pelvic floor. Just pay attention to it. And then on the exhale, you'll do a long sighing exhale. And what you should feel is this building back up. So the pelvic floor is like a hammock and it's sort of tightening. Like when you used to play in school with the hammock, or not a hammock. What do you call it?
Was it the parachute?
A parachute, yes. And so you remember all the kids and we'd stretch it out and then we'd come together. Yeah. So we're sort of on the inhale, we're like all coming together and the parachute is dropping down and has like less tension. And then on the exhale, that parachute sort of coming up and it's building this tension into your abdominal wall. And so you can just lay down and see if you can feel and get connected to those muscles. If you can, great. That's number one. You're probably able to find your deep abdominals, your core. You're going to set yourself up for all your exercises to be better by just taking an exhale before you start an exercise. Mm. Literally 2 seconds. Or if you've got a good exhale, maybe it's 8 seconds. So you want to get all of that air out, sort of a, and I always tell my clients, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah. And then they get all the air out, then they feel it. And if you don't feel it, secondary, I would say stand up and reach towards your toes. And there's going to be one or two scenarios that are going to happen. You either are way far away from those toes. You can't touch them at all. You can't flex forward. Or you literally just fall over and palm the floor. And in either of those scenarios, we need to give you what you don't have.
Mm.
And so the person that can literally just fall over and palm the floor probably needs more stability. And that means that they need to find their hamstrings, like Kim said, with the feet on the wall. They need to find their abdominals. They need to find that deep pelvic floor connection to sort of contract and get everything working together. Whereas that person that literally can't move past their knees and they're just stuck in that position, they need to learn to let go. They need to learn to breathe and expand into their back and feel this lengthening of all those tissues and get in a better position so that they can start to improve. And it's not necessarily a stretch. It's more like a stretching from the inside. So when we inhale, you feel that expansion into your back. You feel everything. So for the person that can touch the floor, I would put them in like a bridge position or a hip thrust position. It's a great way to say it for anyone just listening to this. So sort of tucking your pelvis under, lifting your butt, and you can feel your hamstrings and glutes. And then I would have you breathe there and find that deep abdominal tension. For the other person, I might put them on like in I call it a rock back position, but it would be like a, in yoga.
Child's pose.
Child's pose. Yes. Thank you. And sort of just sit back in child's pose and feel your, that closing off the front side and sort of expanding the backside and just start there. Just breathe into your backside, get some length, stand up, redo your toe touch, and you should see some changes.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Cause I remember when my massage therapist, shout out to you, Karen, if you're probably listening, she'd be like, all right, Kim, take a deep breath. And I'd be like, and she's like, I don't even think you got to like the top part of your lung. She's like, take a deep breath. And so many of us don't know how to do it. And so I think just what you just described could be a great 15 minutes in your day.
Yes.
Just of like getting some like fresh oxygen in your body.
Yes. I mean, it's so true because we get this shallow breathing pattern that's sort of, if you guys out there can't hear that, I'm going.
Right. Like we're like, if you think about your dog on a hot day, like that's how we breathe. Like we are like almost like we're panting, you know, we just don't make the sound, but that's how we feel like we are, just because our days are just so like, go, 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 go. And the breathing, you know, I know it's not sexy, but it will make your lips feel easier. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, if you're someone who is trying to, you know, lift more weight, you might be able to lift more weight because you are able to create that internal pressure versus trying to rely on just pure grip strength or pure just brute strength to get that weight up from whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah. I'll tell you about sexy. You know, it's not sexy is when your vagina is on fire while you're having sex because you can't relax your pelvic floor. I'll just put it out there. That's not sexy. So if you got a pelvic floor that can relax and contract, guess what? Your sex life is going to be better too. So these are things that so many women will say, like, sex is painful. It's miserable. Mm-hmm. Like, that sucks. Nobody should have to feel that. And so, but there are things you could do about it. And so this stuff rolls over into all these other aspects of our lives that make us more joyful to come back to that, but, you know, and happy. So.
All right. I have no idea what that noise is, but.
It sounds like a piano.
It does. And I'm like, I'm looking on my computer and there's like nothing flashing. So that is the life of live recording. At least it's like pleasant.
Your notification signal changed.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it stopped. All right. So so funny you talked about sex. So this quick aside. So Katie's father is a gynecologist. And so when I took her program, he came on and he talked about vagina prolapse. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically like when your vagina is literally trying to turn inside out. And so he was showing pictures of that. So don't Google it. Just don't Google it. So I'm taking your class and usually I take it in the privacy of my office. And that day, I think it was like later in the day and I had to eat lunch. So I'm eating lunch while watching this. And my husband comes out and he's like, the hell? Like, what is happening? He's like, what are you into?
My God, that's hysterical. To be fair too, that I was like, I know at one point I was like, Dad, can you please like walk? Cause he just kind of went on and started talking about other things, but left the surgical procedure picture. It's literally a video of him completely reconstructing a vagina. Like, and he just leaves it up there. And at some point, I think I said on that call, like, Dad, can you just like flip to the next slide? Like, be staring at this. To him, it's so normal.
I'm laughing because my husband's like, how are you just eating? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm hungry. And I was like, he's like, you're watching this surgery.
And oh my God. I love this. This is so funny. I think everybody was sort of like, oh my God, can he please turn to the next slide, please?
But for many people, like, who, like, you know, it's funny when, like, I know what it is, like, and for me just to say it, but to see it is, like, such a different...
It really is, yeah.
It's 220, 240, it's like, you know, the first time someone sees snow, you're like, oh, yeah, it's the white stuff, it falls from the sky. Then you see it, you're like, oh, that's what snow is. Like, I was like, whoa, that's what prolapse is. And so, for those of you guys who might be having that, maybe you pee when... you can't hold your bladder. Like, those are all signs of prolapse. And I did a podcast on pelvic floor, and I'll attach it to this one. But she never had a baby, but because she was told to do, and I found out how to pronounce it, Kegels. It rhymes with bagels. She was told to do Kegels, so she overtoned.
Yeah.
And so then it's possible.
Lengthening. Yeah.
Right. So it's possible that, you know, and I'm sure if you go to your gyn, that's like, you know, checkbox. Oh, you pee a little bit? Kegels.
Oh, it's so, and, you know, my dad, that's why I bring him on, because, you know, he's at the end of his career, and he's never been exposed to this information except for me. And there's no pelvic floor therapist in Pensacola, Florida, where he works. Nobody does that. That's a very new, relatively field for females. And he's now going, man, how I wish I would have had this. I wish I would have had what these women in EP are providing to their clients. Like, what? So imagine if he knew you, Kim, and his patient came in and they needed to lose weight, but they also had pelvic floor issues, and he was like, I don't want to just tell him to do Kegels, but that's not in his job description. I'm going to call Kim and I'm going to say, Kim, I know you understand some of this, so when you're training this person, you're going to be able to get them what they need. Like, that is everything. And so to me, having him come on was like a selfish thing for me, because I would love at some point to get with him and Emily and Jill and try to form like something so that all women have access to this information via their physicians. So you guys, you know, we go to the physicians every single year, get our tests. If you're having a baby, or, you know, it's every week and all of that. And then they don't tell you, hey, like, you got to learn how to re-educate your pelvic floor so that it works for you and that you don't end up with prolapse and all of those things you can do during pregnancy. So I hope that will become more standard practice in the future, for sure.
Agreed. Because it's like, I feel like you said, every single week you go to the doctor, and every single week, you know, they measure you, they take your blood pressure, they weigh you, and there's no conversation about what happens to your body after the baby.
Right.
It's all about the baby, the baby, the baby, the baby. And yet I know so many women are just like, your posture's thrown out because, like, maybe you're carrying a really, like, a turkey, carrying around a turkey, you know, not everyone has like the 6 and 8 pounders. Some of them are walking around with like 10 pound babies and they're 5 feet tall, and their like posture is thrown off. Or, and I never can say this word, I'm going to try my best. Diverticulitis. Oh my God. Did it come out right?
Diverticulitis.
Yeah. It did come out right. Every time I see it spelled out. And every time I try to say it, I never can say it right. But like, you have that, and no one talks about it. Right. Or they tell you like, oh, it'll heal on its own. And you're like, does it?
Right.
If it's 3 fingers deep, it ain't healing on its own. Or they tell you to have surgery.
Oh, you mean diastasis?
Oh, diastasis. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I thought you meant like gut and your diverticulitis.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah. Okay. Diastasis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Diastasis.
Yeah. And I didn't even know, when I got pregnant, I had a diastasis really early on. And I think it was because I was in such an extended posture with the rib flare and, you know, former gymnast. And I think it was just like waiting to tear. It was waiting to happen for me. And I remember seeing the bulge. Really, I was only not maybe just in my second trimester. So I wasn't that big. And I remember seeing it and thinking, is that something, is that abnormal? You know, because I didn't really know. And later on, looking back, I'm like, oh, I kind of cringe that I would like show exercises to people and it'd be bulging out. You know, meanwhile, just ripping my rectus apart and I was just dumb to it, you know? So, yeah. It would have been nice to know when I went to my first OB appointment to pay attention to that.
Right. Or just like, you know, it's like we have the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, but like none of this weird shit's in that book.
That's so true. How many books did you read? Like your first child? And none of this is talked about.
Like it's different. Like, oh, so have you checked your vagina? Like, have you checked your belly? Like, none of it's in there. It's like, today your baby is the size of a grapefruit. Okay. Awesome.
No.
That does nothing to me in my life.
Right. So true.
So, Katie, I want to thank you so much. Like, I hope everyone got something out of this. I was like, there was so much I wanted to talk to her about. And I was like, Kim, stay the course. Stay the course. But I just want you guys to think about, just because you can move doesn't mean you're moving efficiently. And the more efficient we're able to move, the less we'll have aches and pains later in life. Less we'll have aches and pains like, well, I don't do that anymore because my shoulder bothers me or my knees bother me or whatever. Because whenever I hear that and someone, or God forbid, they're wearing like some type of brace, I'm just like, all right, let's just look at what's happening to you because it's a movement issue versus a brace issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I ask everyone one question. What's one thing that makes you feel magical?
Just one. Oh,
it could be anything.
Yeah. I think right now, currently, because this is the space I'm in my life, but I think running Empowered Performance and being able to teach and communicate these concepts to other women and see that whole world kind of change. It's magical, you know. Of course, my son, there every single day, like the funny things he comes home with is another magical thing. But for me personally and professionally, that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love it because I think as I'm, you know, as a participant, so many of us want this. Like, we know that movement is what's going to get our clients ultimate results. And the fact that like someone is like, yes, it's a thing. We're like, yay, I'm not alone.
It's so true. I mean, I think that is the magic of, I told somebody today, I can't believe I'm in my fourth program. And much less that I have a membership and that all these women are a community now, but it's surreal sort of. But the magic of it is that that women need female spaces.
Mm.
We need places where it is different. At first I thought about letting men in. I thought about all of that. And it's really been a tug on my heartstrings for a year now. But now I realize that I am creating a safe space for women to do great things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have to feel like I'm being exclusive. Its purpose is, you know, I mean, sounds super corny, but back in the day, we as women came together to raise children together.
Mm.
You know, the men would go off and hunt, the women would support one another. And I feel like now we're just in the workforce, but we've lost that connection. And it's okay to push for both things and want to be mom and want to work and want to have this dual life, but we still need that support system. And I think it's something innate in us that, you know, they talk about how men are like fight or flight and during stress. Well, sometimes I don't think women are. I think women can be the calming voice, and that's where we're different.
And yeah, absolutely.
Because we're mothers and we're wives and when we're, that's just part of our human nature. And when you put a group of collective people like that together, amazing things can happen. And that's magical.
Right. And it's also just because I think a lot of us, because, you know, let's be honest, like the trainer world is dominated by dudes for a long time. Like you only saw, you know, you went to a conference and there was only dudes presenting, you know, maybe like one like rogue woman who was talking about postpartum, right? But everyone else was like, everyone was all dudes out there. And so I think now if you're in a space of women, you feel more comfortable and confident speaking up about, you know, or being the voice of dissent, where before, if there was just a bunch of guys, you'd be like, you know, you were like, oh, I'll just keep quiet. Like, you know, I'm not going to put out a counter conversation because I don't want to be shut down.
Exactly. And you feel sort of alone in that because you are balancing this need to feel like a good mom and all of do all the things that we think we're supposed to be doing. The world's changing, of course, but that still exists. It's still a big thing, you know?
Oh,
and so we're still working at it. And it's part we're putting on us. I'm not blaming men. I'm saying I'm putting on myself to want to be.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be everything for everyone. And so basically having a community that sort of supports that desire and being able to say it's okay. And you can do great things too, despite these other feelings that you have, that you need to be there for your children and your family and blah, blah, blah. Like you can do it, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, mom guilt will never go away, but when you see other people doing it, you're like, okay, all right, I can do it too. So like, it's kind of just gives you that like push out of your own way.
Yes. And it's cool. Cause your kids are going to be like, yeah, she's a badass. Look at her. She can work out. She can do this cool, you know, job, and she can be my mom too. And that's awesome.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I so appreciate it. And, you know, Magic Makers, Katie, where can we find you on the socials? I know you're on Instagram.
Yes. It's katie.stclair.fitness. And then my website's katiestclairfitness.com. And there's a bunch of like free stuff on there if you're interested. And yeah, that's where you can find me. That's pretty much it. A little bit on Facebook, not much.
Yeah. So she has great information. So definitely follow her on the gram and you will see like some like cool things that she does. And I love them because they're not circus related. There's a method to the madness versus like, this is cool. I'm going to do it. Right. Like you will never see on a BOSU ball in a handstand.
Maybe one day, Kim, don't put it past me.
All right. No, but I'm just saying, you know, people do that. They're like,
no, I'm totally kidding.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Awesome.
I wish.
Yeah. But yeah, so she does some pretty cool stuff and just like follow her because she's just an awesome person in general. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.